Grace, mercy, and peace be unto us from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God which engages us on this day comes from the last verse of the Gospel lesson previously read, Luke chapter 7, verse 16, where Luke records the reaction of the crowd. They were filled with fear and praised God. They said, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has come to help his people." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, it wasn't New York City or Washington, D.C. Instead, it was a small, insignificant town called Nain. It wasn't that 6,334 people had been killed. It was just one person who was dead. And it wasn't that tens or maybe hundreds of thousands of people had been directly impacted. There was just one person who appeared to be directly impacted, the woman in our text. And for that woman, the widow at Nain, life must have seemed as though it were no longer worth living. You see, she had made this walk before this funeral procession, for death had already taken her husband from her. And now, in our text, she was making that walk once again, being asked to do the hardest thing a parent is asked to do in this life, to bury her child, her son, her only son, at that. For that woman, life would never be the same again. As a widow, alone without a male in the household, she was indeed in jeopardy in the society of her day. It's no small coincidence that Jesus derides the teachers of the law on more than one occasion for devouring the households of the widow. For you see, they used the legal system of the day and all of its loopholes to do what we today would think to be unthinkable, putting widows out of their homes and out on the street. Alone as a widow and without a male in the household, her future was uncertain at best, and in worst case, she was facing a future filled with poverty and oppression at the hands of the powerful. But no doubt those fears were overshadowed on the day of our text with feelings of grief and sorrow. Why me? Why now? Why my son and not me? Perhaps all of these questions were running through her mind. And by the way, where was God in all this? And why wasn't he there to help? Ironically, he was. Right there, in the person of Jesus Christ. He had compassion on her and was about to help her in a way that she could not even begin to imagine. Luke records how when Jesus came upon the city of Nain, he saw the funeral procession coming out of the gates, a large procession at that, and he approached it and actually touched the coffin, probably an open wooden box that contained the dead, wrapped body of this son. And then, incredibly, addressed the dead son and said, "Rise up." And at that point, Luke records how not only the son sat up in that coffin, but began to speak, and Jesus gave the son back to his mother. Notice that in contrast with the Old Testament lesson that was read previously, Jesus did not call upon anyone else or anything else. He did not spread himself out over the son three times as Elijah had done. No, he simply commanded and spoke the word, and death submitted only to the authority of Jesus Christ alone. The reaction of the crowd was interesting. God has come to help his people, they said. No doubt this was not a confession in the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Instead, it was a recognition on their part that God was indeed working through this great prophet that had arisen in their midst, as they termed him. But as so often happens in life, their words had more meaning than they realized at the time. God had come to help his people. They could not have realized how accurate and how truly significant their words were. For in Jesus Christ standing right in their midst, God had come to help his people. And that's exactly the conclusion Luke wants us to reach as we read through the beginning chapters of his gospel. Like the slow, unrelenting cadence of a beating drum, Luke cites example after example, incident after incident, that would lead the reader to conclude nothing other that in Jesus Christ, God had come to help his people, that a new age had dawned, that the kingdom of God had come near. In Luke chapter 4, after Jesus drives the demons out, the demons themselves confess, "You are the Holy One of God." And Jesus commands them to tell no one. Jesus then goes on to heal many of their illnesses and their diseases, including the centurion's servant in the chapter right before our text, without even a face-to-face encounter with the servant, healing him from a distance. And when he heals the paralytic, he also says to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," something that only God was supposed to do, as the Pharisees and Sadducees discussed it. In our text, death itself submits to his authority and his word, all leading up to the question in the verses that immediately follow our text. As John the Baptist sends his followers to Jesus to ask the question, "Are you the long-awaited one, or should we expect another?" The answer is obvious. In Jesus Christ, God has come to help his people. Two chapters after our text, Luke records how Jesus would set his face toward Jerusalem. And there, ironically, the one who had come to help his people would receive no help himself. The one who had compassion on the poor, lowly widow in the insignificant town of Nain would receive no compassion himself. The one who had come and brought life back to the widow's son would himself taste of death in order to pay the price for the sins of the world. But God would help. God, as he had promised, would not let his Holy One see decay. Risen on the third day, just as Jesus had promised. And as Paul reminds us, through our baptism, we are buried with him in a death like his, so that also we might be risen with him to newness of life. In Jesus Christ, God has come to help his people. But are we still going to experience days like the widow at Nain? Absolutely. There are still going to be days of doubt and worry and uncertainty and calamity. There are still going to be days when we ask some of the same questions that perhaps the widow at Nain was asking. Why me? Why now? And where is God in the midst of all this, and why isn't he helping me? May God move us to remember the widow at Nain and the God who was there to help her, a very present help in every time of trouble. But at the risk of sounding cold and callous and insensitive, I would suggest to you that our text for today, not unlike the events of September 11, compels us to move beyond the everyday trials and temptations and troubles of this life. Who said hello to me on the sidewalk and who ignored me? Who's gossiping about me and who is not? Who's on my side and who is not? And instead to focus on the one ultimate question that stands before us all, death and the grave, and there to see the God who has come to help us, the God who had compassion on the lowly widow in the insignificant town of Nain, the God to whom death submitted by his very word, the God who later went on and destroyed death on the cross of Calvary. To remember that here in this place, God also has come, not to destroy, not to condemn, but to help his people. Just like at Nain, in the midst of death, bringing life through his word lame, through his body and blood and the forgiveness of sin freely given, God has come to help his people. Right here today, in the chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus, in the seemingly insignificant town of Clayton, Missouri, God has come to help his people in ways that, like the widow at Nain, we could never imagine possible. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in this one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.